Judges chapter number 16. Judges chapter number 16. Look at just a couple of verses, although we'll be in this whole chapter, but don't let that cloud your thinking of we're going to be here till 1 o'clock. We're not going to be here till 1 o'clock, amen. Judges chapter number 16. D.L. Moody was one of the greatest American evangelists that ever lived. And although he did lack a lot of education, his ministry still has an ongoing influence today. His sermon series and the books that he has written are still used by pastors and preachers and students of the Word of God even to this day. Why was that? I believe it was this, because Moody was a man that was filled with the Holy Spirit of God. He understood the importance of being filled with the Holy Spirit. He understood this, that only by yielding ourselves can we receive the power and influence of the Holy Spirit of God upon ourselves. I think if there's anything that's essential for a strong and a successful Christian life, it would be this. It's having the power of the Holy Spirit of God in our life. Most people literally associate power with the preacher or a missionary or an evangelist or someone in the ministry. I want you to know this, that God's power is necessary for the work that God has called a pastor, preacher, evangelist, missionary to do. It is essential that he have the power of God upon his life. But get this, it's also just as essential that every believer has this same power in their life as well. R.A. Torrey, who was another great American evangelist, he was a pastor and a great educator. He wrote a book that was entitled, How to Succeed in a Christian Life. Now, if there's books that you ought to read, it ought to be something of how to be successful in your Christian life. The chapters in his book deal with things that speak about our assurance of our salvation. It talks about the importance of being a church member. It talks about Bible study and prayer. It talks about working for the cause and glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he also includes a chapter that's entitled The Holy Spirit. And in that chapter, he stresses how important it is for every believer to be filled with the power of the Holy Spirit of God. And he writes these words, and I quote, "Being filled with the Holy Spirit is a great secret of joyfulness in our own hearts, of victory over sin, of power in prayer, and of effective service." So when I'm discussing and preaching about today the importance of God's power in our lives, I am speaking to every person that has been saved and born again, washed in the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. It's the difference between just being a Christian and being a useful and a dynamic, and get this, an effective Christian. It may be the difference as well for someone that you know, a family member, a neighbor, a co-worker, and might make a difference for them between heaven and hell as they witness the power of the Holy Spirit of God on your life. Understanding this, I want to draw our attention this morning to our third Wist Not. So far in this series that I've entitled Wist Not, we've seen God's bread, His Word. We saw last week God's glory, His presence. And this morning we're going to come to understand God's power, in other words, His strength. Judges chapter 16 and verse 20 says that Samson wist not or knew not that the Lord had departed from him. I thought about that. What a sad place to find yourself. When the departure of the influence of the Holy Spirit of God has left your life and those that are around you. How sad it is. So let's stand this morning as we give respect to the reading of God's Word. For the sake of time, we'll just begin reading in Judges 16 and verse number 15 down through verse number 20. And then we'll pray and we'll come to understand how important it is in our lives today to have the power of God on our life. Just as a quick background, we do understand this, that Delilah had been recruited to betray Samson. On two occasions, she has failed in trying to discover the source of Samson's power. So we pick it up in verse number 15. "And she said unto him," in other words, Delilah, "How canst thou say I love thee when thy heart is not with me? Thou hast mocked me these three times and hast not told me wherein thy great strength lieth. And it came to pass, when she pressed him daily with her words and urged him, so that his soul was vexed unto death." Let me just stop here and say this. that she nagged him daily, amen. Ladies, let me help you. Nagging your husband doesn't really accomplish anything. It just gets him angry. It vexed him unto death, the Bible says. Then he told her all his heart and said unto her, there hath not come a razor unto my head. For I have been a Nazarite unto God from my mother's womb. If I be shaven, then my strength will go from me, and I shall become weak and be like any other man. And when Delilah saw that he had told her all his heart, she sent and called for the lords of the Philistines, saying, come up this once, for he has showed me all his heart. Then the lord of the Philistines came up unto her and brought money in their hand. Just to stop here a minute, each one of these three lords of the Philistines promised her 1,200 pieces of silver. So she was going to get a lot of money for betraying Samson. And she made him sleep upon her knees, and she called for a man, and he caused him to shave off the 7 locks of his head, and she began to afflict him, and his strength went from him. And she said, the Philistines be upon thee, Samson. I will go out at other times before and shake myself. And notice these words, and he wist not that the Lord was departed from him. How sad that is. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, as we bow our heart and knee before you this morning, Father, as your people gather today, Father, help me to understand, Father, that I cannot preach this message without the empowerment from the Holy Spirit of God. Oh, Father, I put all my frailties by the wayside, and God, I trust in you to be a help and a blessing to your people as the Word of God is preached today. Father, as we again look at this thought of the wist not of God's power, Father, may they come to understand that it is important, Father, that they are filled with the Holy Spirit of God. Father, that they are used in a great and mighty way. And the strength and sustenance of our life, Father, comes from that empowerment. So, Father, I pray you'll be with someone who's here this morning that may not know Christ as their own personal Savior. Oh, Father, help them to understand this, that they're lost. They're already on their way to hell, having rejected what Christ has already done for them on the cross. And Father, I pray, before they leave the building this morning, they might come into an everlasting relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, and they might be saved. Father, help them to throw any preconceived notion about what they believe the Bible said. Help them to put away that false doctrine that they have been taught all these years. And Father, may they willingly, by faith, just trust in your Son. So, Father, we pray that you'll bless this time as we meet here this morning. We pray and ask these things. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. And you may be seated. Notice as we think about this thought of wist not God's power. Notice, first of all, this morning, if you're taking notes, that Samson embodied a life appointed by God. Samson embodied a life appointed by God. Think about this. Samson was supposed to represent a life that belonged exclusively to God himself. He was to be fully consecrated. He was to be fully separated unto the Lord. Turn back in your Bibles to Judges chapter number 13. Judges chapter number 13. In this passage, we will see a life that was given by God. Notice in Judges 13, beginning in verses 2 and 3, and there was a certain man of Zorah and a family of Danites, whose name was Manoah, and his wife was barren and bare not. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto the woman and said unto her, behold now, thou art barren and bearest not, but thou shalt conceive and bear a son. So quite explicitly, the Bible says that Manoah's wife could not have any children, but the Lord intervened, and he was going to give her a son. Look at verse 24. The Bible said, and the woman bare a son and called his name Samson. So here we find God giving the promise, and then we find the promise being carried out. Notice this about Samson. Samson was sent by God. He would have never been conceived, much less born, if it hadn't been for the Lord's intervention in Manoah's wife's life. So he was a result of God's purpose for that family. You might even say this, that Samson was a man that was sent from God. The Bible tells us, and I think about another man that was sent from God, and that man was John the Baptist. The Bible said that he also was a man sent from God, according to John 1 and verse number 6. But back to Judges 13 and verse number 5, we find these words. And he will begin to deliver Israel out of the hand of the Philistines. So God gave his life to serve and deliver the nation of Israel. Samson, no doubt, was a miracle. Did you know this, that all of us that are ever born are a miracle from God as well? In Psalm 22, verses 9 and 10, the Bible says this, "But thou art he that took me out of the womb. Thou didst make me hope when I was upon my mother's breast. I was cast upon thee from the womb. Thou art my God from my mother's belly." And then the psalmist, writing in Psalm 139, talks about basically being fearfully and wonderfully made in the eyes of God. And just like Samson, each of us has come into this world because God has given us life. And guess what? This life has a purpose. You say, well, what is the purpose for my life? I don't know what the purpose is for your life outside of the things that God has specifically set aside. But you are fearfully and wonderfully made. And just like Samson has a purpose, you have a purpose as well. I'm reminded of an old song that goes something like this. My hands were made to help my neighbor. My eyes were made to read God's word. My feet were made to walk in his footsteps. My body is the temple of the Lord. I was made in his likeness, created in his image. I was born to serve the Lord. I can't deny him. I'll always walk beside him, for I was born to serve the Lord. Well, in Samson, not only do we see a life that was given by God, but notice something else this morning. Notice a life that was given to God. It was given by God, but it was also given to God. So when the angel of the Lord told Manoah's wife that she was going to conceive, the angel of the Lord gave very specific instructions about her behavior during this time of pregnancy. Notice in Judges 13 and verse 4. The Bible says, "Now therefore beware, I pray thee, and drink not wine nor strong drink, and eat not any unclean thing." Listen, this was more than just some pediatric advice on how to have a healthy pregnancy. I think that is some good advice, how to have a healthy pregnancy, but that's not what it was. Samson was God sent, and notice this, he was a God sanctified man. This child was supposed to have a special purpose for God in his life. Listen, and this purpose was declared even before he was born out of the womb. And the question really that begs to be asked is simply this: what was that purpose? If God had a purpose for him, what was that purpose? Well, look in Judges 13 and verse number 5. The Bible says, "For lo, thou shalt conceive and bear a son, and no razor shall come upon his head, for the child shall be a Nazarite unto God from his womb." So the life that God had appointed for Samson was to be a life of a Nazarite, and he was to take the Nazarite vow. That word Nazarite simply means this: separate, separate. It speaks of someone wholly devoted to God. A Nazarite was someone who vowed themselves to be totally consecrated or set apart to God himself. Included in his vows was this: the abstinence from any fermented drink, no contact at all with a dead body, no cutting of the hair whatsoever. So as a Nazarite lived and ate, and guess what? He looked different than the world. And by the way, that's not a bad plan for you and I as well, that walk in this world, that we ought to look different, act different, and perhaps maybe eat different, maybe eat better than the world does. I don't know. The truth of the matter is we ought to be different than the world. Everything about a Nazarite was to say this: this person belongs to God. When they looked at them, they would say, that person is different. They're set apart. They're set apart for God's purpose and plan as a Nazarite. In Numbers chapter number 6, we're given the law of the Nazarites. Usually the Nazarite vow was given for a limited amount of time. But in Samson's case, we read in verse number 7, "For the child shall be a Nazarite to God from the womb to the day of his death." And so while other people that make this Nazarite vow, it was for a limited period. It was not the case for Samson. He was to be a Nazarite from inside his mother's womb. That's why Manoah's wife was told by the angel of the Lord, no alcohol, stay away from fermented drink, and stay away from all those things. Samson was to belong to God, get this now, all of his life. Here's the truth. You and I may not be a Nazarite. You and I may not have taken that Nazarite vow. But nonetheless, guess what? Our life still belongs to God. The Bible said in 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse number 19, what? Know ye not that your body is a temple of the Holy Ghost which is in you and which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? Did you catch the last five words of that wonderful verse in 1 Corinthians 6 and verse number 19? Notice the words again. Ye are not your own. If that stopped right there, that would be good enough. But verse 20 goes on, and it continues this thought. For ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. You see, the price that paid for buying you was the shed blood of Jesus Christ on the cross of Calvary. And so the last three words of verse 20 really tell us why that we are not our own. Because the Bible said someone has purchased us. And that is Jesus Christ by his payment on the cross. Notice it says, we are God's. So if you're saved and you're born again, understand this, that you do not belong to yourself. You belong to God. You may be thinking, well, how long do I belong to God? Is there a way out of this, so to speak, like the Nazarite vow had, minus Samson? No, understand this. We are his from the day we are saved until the day that we die. And guess what? Even beyond up in heaven, we are still his, amen. We are not going to be released. Just like Samson, our whole life belongs to God. I believe we live in a day and age today where we compartmentalize our life, and we have our church life, we have our work life, we have our friend life, and we have our activity life, and we separate everything. And the way that we live and do and work in our life is based upon where we're at or who we're hanging out with. But understand this, our whole life, our sum of all we are, belong to God. So consequently, you and I are to serve him. We are to live for him and glorify him in all that we are and all that we do. Well, we see not only did Samson embody a life appointed by God, but notice secondly this morning, Samson enjoyed a life anointed by God. Anointed by God. Look in Judges 13 again, in verses 24 and verse 25. Notice as we read, the Bible really indicates that Samson grew and the Lord blessed him. And the Spirit of the Lord began to move him at times in the camp of Dan between Zorah and Eshcol. And from the early days of his life, Samson began to experience God's power in his life. He enjoyed a life that was anointed by God. You know, when you think of Samson, the first thing that usually comes to most people's mind is this, his extraordinary strength. And we visualize in our mind a Hercules kind of looking guy. We see muscles that are bulging, muscles that are twitching. I mean, he had muscles in his neck, in his calves, in his everywhere. Normally, that's what we think about. If you ever watch a children's cartoon, that's the way they look when it describes Samson and shows Samson. I'm reminded of a man by the name of Paul Anderson. Paul Anderson was known at one time as the world's strongest man. He had the Paul Anderson Youth Home in Vidalia, Georgia, where he worked there with homeless teenagers. He traveled all across the country for many years, lifting weights just to gain an audience in order to preach and tell the people about Jesus' saving grace. Anderson traveled with the American team to Russia in 1955, and he traveled there to compete against the country's top weightlifters. And in his first athletic competition between the two teams since World War II. So the Russian favorite went first, and he equaled the Olympic record of 330.5 pounds in a military press. and the people that were there just thought that was wonderful. But when Anderson took his turn, he pressed 402.5 pounds. He would go on to break 4 world records on that world tour. He also won a gold medal for weightlifting in the 1956 Summer Olympics. But it was in June of 1957 that he made the lift that the world gave him the title, the world's strongest man. And he had a very special table that was built for him. On top of that table, he placed a lead-filled safe and parts of all kinds of junk cars. The total weight was 6,270 pounds. And as the crowd watched him, he crawled up underneath that table. He tightly gripped a stool that was there for him to lay across. And he arched his back up and lifted that table off the floor. There's no doubt that Paul Anderson was and is the world's strongest man. But think about this. Samson was even stronger than Paul Anderson was. But it wasn't because of his physical strength. He was the original world's strongest man. His strength didn't come from working out. His strength didn't come from taking steroids. His strength came, we'll see in just a moment. Notice the source of his strength. The source of his strength. Where did his strength come from? It came from none other than the Holy Spirit. Look in Judges 14 and verse number 6. The Bible said that when he killed the lion, the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon him. And then in verse number 19, we find that Samson slew 30 men. And again, we read these words, and the Spirit of the Lord came upon him. And then in Judges 15, we read of how he slew not only 30 men, but the Bible said he slew 1,000 men. And once again, we read in verse number 4, and the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon him. Each time when he exhibited this great strength, it was because the Spirit of the Lord came upon him. And his extraordinary feats of strength resulted from the Holy Spirit of God coming upon him and empowering him to do that work. The source of his strength was none other than the Spirit of God. Let me help us this morning. It's no different for you and I as well. The source of our spiritual strength is in the Spirit of God. As we yield ourselves to God, we experience God's power in our life, and we become spiritually strong in the Lord. The Bible says in Galatians chapter 5 and verse 16, this I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. So how do we overcome living selfishly for ourselves? How do we really turn and trust in God to give us this power? Understand this, it's not in our own strength, because it comes from the strength of the Holy Spirit of God. You can't will yourself to have a filling of the Holy Spirit of God. You can't say, I'm going to do this, and I'm going to do this, and I'm going to do that to be filled with the power of the Holy Ghost. It doesn't work that way. It's same true in every area of our Christian life. The source of our spiritual strength is the Spirit of God. It's God's power in our life. I think most of our spiritual failures can be traced back to you and I not yielding ourselves to Him, not yielding ourselves to the power of God. Well, we see the source of His strength, but then notice something else. Notice the secret to His strength. What was the secret? Well, a large portion of this story here in chapter number 16 literally is an attempt by others to find out the secret of Samson's strength. In Judges 16, in verse number 5, the lords of the Philistines said to Delilah, entice him and see wherein his great strength lieth. And as we all know, she continued until she learned the secret of Samson's strength. What was the secret of his strength? God's power came upon him as he obeyed God's plan for his life, as he obeyed his Nazarite vow, as he obeyed God's plan and his will for his life. That's where the power came from. There's certain things that God expected Samson to do. There's certain things that he expected Samson not to do. Listen, we don't always have to understand every aspect of God's will for our life. We just have to trust him in it and be in it. We're only fooling ourselves if we think that we can live selfishly, disobedient to God's will, and still have God's power in our lives. Let me help you. You will not have God's power in your life if you live a disobedient life to God's will for your life. There's a great Canadian preacher named Oswald J. Smith, and he wrote this: Savior, fill me with thy spirit as I seek and wait and pray. Bend and break me, blessed master. Make me wholly thine today. Lord, I bow in full surrender, yielding all I have to thee. Come and fill me with thy spirit. Sanctify thyself in me. I would tarry in thy presence till endued with power and love. I would know the mighty fullness of the spirit from above. Will he come in all his fullness as I now obey the call? Yes, oh yes, for thou hast promised if I come confessing it all. You see, God's power only comes when we obey his will and his word for our lives. And that was the secret to Samson's strength and the secret to our being filled with the Holy Spirit of God. That was also the reason for Samson's downfall, because he was disobedient to God's will for his life and God's way for his life. And by the way, guess what? It's the reason for your and our downfall as well when we're disobedient to God's will and way in our life. Well, not only did Samson embody a life appointed by God, and Samson enjoyed a life anointed by God, but notice lastly and sadly, Samson experienced a life abandoned by God. He experienced a life abandoned by God. What a terrible thought to be abandoned by God. Notice again in Judges 16, if you have your Bible open, look in verse number 20. Notice the last part of that verse. The Bible says in Judges 16, the last part of verse 20, and he wist not that the Lord was departed from him. So here's a man at one time who the Spirit of the Lord descended very mightily upon Samson. But now we see the Spirit of the Lord departing from him. For a long time, the power was available to Samson. But now, the Bible tells us that the power of God has gone from his life. I wonder how many remember what was referred to as the great power failure in the Northeast in 2003. Millions and millions of people were without power. I was traveling that day when that happened, and I had my debit card, as I usually do, and I stopped to get gas, and pumps aren't working, lights aren't on. I don't know what I was going to do. There was no power at the back gas pumps. And I immediately thought, well, maybe I'll go to the ATM and get some cash out. Maybe they'll take cash. Guess what? The ATM doesn't work when there's no power, right? So maybe you might remember that day. As many as 50 million people were trapped in subways and elevators and office buildings. They're left helplessly stranded on the road without gas, without power. But even at the worst power failure in the world, listen, it's not as bad as when the Spirit of God is not with us. As we look at Samson's loss of power, I want you to notice, first of all, the cause of his loss. The cause of his loss. If the secret to his power was obedience to his Nazarite vow, then it really stands to reason that the loss of his power was because Samson broke that vow that he made with God. In Judges 14:1, the Bible says this, and Samson went down to Timnath. So Samson not only went down geographically, but he also went down, and it was the start of his spiritual decline. On his pathway of his decline, he violated every part of that Nazarite vow. In Judges 14 and verse 5, the Bible says, then Samson went down, and then he came to the vineyards of Timnath. Did you see where he goes? He goes to the vineyards of Timnath, including in that vow of not drinking wine or not drinking any strong drink. was a prohibition of not going anywhere near a vineyard. He wasn't even literally allowed to touch a raisin or touch a grape. But there he was, walking through a vineyard, doing the things that he vowed to God that he would not do. First part of his Nazarite vow is already broken. But then notice, there was a lion that he killed. In Judges 14, in verses 8 and 9, the Bible says, "And after a time he returned to take her, and he turned aside to see the carcass of a lion. And behold, there was a swarm of bees and honey in the carcass of the lion. And he took thereof in his hands, and went on eating, and came to his mother and father, and he gave them, and they did eat. But he told them not that he had taken the honey out of the carcass of a lion." Think about this now. How did he get the honey out of the carcass of the lion he had previously killed? He would have to come in contact with a dead body. The second part of his vow is now broken. And then thirdly, in what becomes most familiar to many of us today, we find he cut his hair. And that was a very expensive haircut that he had that day. It cast Samson his strength. It cast him his discernment. It cast him his honor, his freedom, and lastly, the comfort that he enjoyed, because now he was going to be a slave for the enemy. You know, sin has a way of sapping our strength, doesn't it? Advertisements claim that sinful pleasures will make you happy. Just indulge, just go, just do, don't worry about it. Understand that is a lie from the devil himself. Sin leaves us weak and robs us of our spiritual strength. And when Samson sowed in Gaza, he now reaps in Sorek and in Timnah. In Judges 16, verse 17, we find these words, that he told her all his heart and said unto her, "There has not come a razor upon my head. For if I had been a Nazarite unto God from my mother's womb, if I be shaven, then my strength will go from me, and I shall become weak and be like other men." So while sleeping in the lap of Delilah, the locks of his hair were shaven. And notice in Judges 16 and verse number 19, the Bible says this, "His strength went from him." I want to remind you that his vows were just an external symbol of his separation and consecration to God. And this separation and consecration was first violated in his heart. And by the way, that's where it always begins. It always begins in our heart. It always begins in our mind and then moves outward as well. Our consecration and separation must always be taken so seriously because it holds the secret of our power with God. Well, we see the cause of his loss, but then notice the consequences of his loss. Time after time, his enemies had tried to kill him, if you're familiar with the story. But as long as the Spirit of the Lord was with him, guess what? They couldn't touch him. It's no different from you and I. The enemy may attack us, and may desire to take us out of here, but until the Lord gives him permission, until it's his will to do so, it will not happen. But the moment that Samson lost his power, Samson became a victim rather than a victor. Notice in verse 21 of Judges 16. "But the Philistines took him and put out his eyes and brought him down to Gaza." That sounds familiar, doesn't it, if you turn your television on? "And bound him with fetters of brass, and he did grind in the prison house." It all started with him going down, and now we find him being brought down. And the result of the loss of his power was that they left him blind and bound and belittled by the people that captured him. He was to be separated unto and a servant of God. And now he's neither of those. He's not separated unto God. No longer is he a servant of God. The hero has become a zero. And the mighty Samson is now just a physical weakling doing menial tasks, work, grinding as an ox would normally do. But even sadder was Danette. He didn't realize it until it was too late. He didn't realize his power was gone. Our text states this, "And he wist not that the Lord was departed from him." In Judges 16 and verse 20, the Bible tells us that when he awoke up out of his sleep of laying on Delilah's lap, he said, "I will go out as other times before." But it wasn't as before. He lost his power. And when we try to do things without the power of God in our life, listen, it's not going to be as before. We're left as spiritual weaklings in a world of vicious enemies that seek to destroy us and our testimony for the Lord Jesus Christ. Here's the truth. We cannot afford to be powerless in this world that we live in. We must have the power of the Holy Spirit of God upon our life. Well, as we close, thank God there is a howbeit in Samson's story. Look at verse 22. The Bible said in Judges 16 and verse 22, howbeit the hair of his head began to grow again after he was shaven. I guess apparently we find that the enemies of the nation of Israel forgot that if you cut your hair, it will grow back all by itself. Amen. Well, just like Paul Harvey would say, and now you know the rest of the story. The rest of the story is found in verses 23 through verse number 30. It seems like Samson will be given his strength back, and he will be given his power back one last time to bring God honor and glory at the time of his death. And in his death, he performed the greatest feat of strength that he ever had done before. And as we finish this morning, I want to ask you two questions. Number one, do you have God's power? If not, I pray the Lord will put a hunger in your heart to have the power of God in your life. Listen, you only can have God's power by two ways. The first one, you have to be saved. You have to be born again. You have to ask for forgiveness of your sin, putting your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. And then secondly, by living for the Lord with all your heart and all your soul and all your might. The second question I have for you this morning is this. You say, yes, Pastor, I have trusted in Christ as my Savior. I have the Holy Spirit of God that lives within me, but I haven't really been filled to be used by the way that I should be. And the question is this, have you lost God's power in your life? If you find yourself just like Samson, seek the Lord once again until the power of the Holy Spirit rests upon you. His prayer is found in Judges 16 and verse 28. Look at that. The Bible said, and Samson called unto the Lord and said, O Lord God, remember me, I pray, and strengthen me. I don't think Samson would mind if you included that in your prayer as you come back to the Lord. One last observation, and then we'll be done. Samson's life is a tragic example of a wasted potential and a rejection of God's warning in his life. Samson thought that he could get away with sin and he could escape the consequences of his sin. Understand that he misinterpreted the merciful delay of God's judgment as a sign that God didn't really care whether he broke his Nazarite vow or not. He presumed on God's mercy and continued in his sin, making things far worse than they should have been. He didn't know that the Lord had departed from him. Samson's strength wasn't in his hair, but was in his relationship with God. And that's where you and I are. Maybe you're here today and you misinterpreted God's merciful delay of God's judgment on your life as a sign that God doesn't care. Let me help you. God does care. He cares very much. We find that Samson worked against his relationship until God finally departed from him. Samson embodied a life that was appointed by God. You and I are no different. Samson enjoyed a life appointed for God. God had a purpose and a plan for Samson's life. But sadly, Samson experienced a life abandoned by God. Don't you experience that in your life as well? Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this time that we could be here this morning. I pray, Father, that you would touch the hearts of your people that are here today. Oh God, thank you for the way that you have spoken to my heart. Thank you, Father, that you have really instilled in me that I've been embodied a life that's been appointed by you. That I've enjoyed a life that's been anointed by you. And oh God, I pray that we'll never experience ever again a life that's been abandoned by God, where we're not being used by the Holy Spirit of God to the fullest extent that you have desired for us. Father, I pray that you would speak to the hearts of those that are here that do not know Christ. Oh, Father, may they be saved today. May they come to know the rich joy, Father, of experiencing God's power in their life, that they can live a victorious life. So, Father, I ask now that you bless as only you can do. We pray and ask these things in Christ's name we pray. Let's stand to